hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
So we're going to do our Easter series. We're doing five parts series called Upside Down. Do you know that Jesus, in the love of God, God the Father, has, and I love what Phil was saying, like Emmanuel, his plan, even from Christmas, is for this Easter. That we have to have a celebrational heart, celebrated heart, is that right? I'm looking at my Tereo person here. We need to have a celebration. We need a party for Easter, amen? So on Easter Sunday, of course, you're inviting everyone, including your neighbors and the guy that works at the dairy. Everyone's going to come. We're going to have a massive celebration party on Easter Sunday because it's cause to celebrate because he is risen. Oh, you guys don't know that yet. Okay, so from now on, here's what I'm going to do. If anyone says, anyone, you could be at Pack and Save, and someone says, he's risen, this is what you say. He has risen indeed. But you got to do like the hero pose almost. Like, so, he is risen. He is risen indeed. You could be in the middle of the gas station, and if I see you, I go, he's risen. And you have to stop and go, he's risen indeed. And people are going to be like, what just happened? And you go, welcome to South City. Tattoo that man. He's risen. He's risen indeed. But that we need to get in that excitement, that joy of Easter. We should not be taking holidays during Easter. I remember talking to someone that like, a pastor was like, well, I usually take Easter off. What? How do you take Easter? It's like the cardinal sin, if there is a cardinal sin. Like, you don't ever take Christmas and Easter off. It's like the most important Sundays of your church calendar. Amen? This is where we start people, I don't know if you've heard the topic, you see people come out of the woodwork. This is when you see people come out of the woodwork to come to those two services, Christmas and Easter. This is an opportunity. It's invitational. It's incarnational for Jesus, not only to die, but also to resurrect. Why? To forgive us of our sins so we can have victory in the name of Jesus. So this series, Upside Down, I'm excited for. We're going to start with a video. Every session, we're going to have a video. So I'm going to turn the lights down a bit, and I want you just to soak into this video for a second. Let's start.
It came with specific instructions. Use it wisely. My grandmother said, it is only for the most special occasion. It had been a gift from her mother, who told her the same thing. Only for the most special occasion. I held it for years, not knowing what could be special enough for this. Until it was 6 days before Passover. He was reclined, his feet towards me. Around him, his followers. I too was a follower, at first at a distance. But he invited us. The women, really everyone, to come near to hear his stories of God's curious kingdom. That night, I gathered my perfume from its safe hiding place. The room crowded with men. No one noticed me. Without hesitation, I broke open the lid of the bottle. The perfume drenched his feet. With a slight smile, he looked at me. And then I did something I had not planned. I covered his feet with my hair, washing them with my tears. I had no choice. He was Messiah, worthy of anointing. This was the celebration that everyone hoped for, of who we hope for. I kept the bottle and the memory. The perfume was not wasted. He was the most special occasion.
We're going to start with John chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." We know Mary from another context. You remember this, right? Literally one chapter before in John 11, we see Lazarus coming back to life. He's dead, and Jesus is brought into this family, and he resurrects Lazarus from death to life. Mary is the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Lives here are already turned upside down because of not only Jesus' presence, but here it's because of Jesus' power. He raised Lazarus from dead. He wasn't sick and he was just passed out. He was dead and in the grave. And Jesus calls Lazarus, "Come out." There is cause, even in this family, there's a huge cause for celebration. And the belief, like we see in the video, for Mary to say, "He is Messiah. He has to be God. No other prophet, no other religion, nothing else compares to Jesus." There's a dinner table. At the table. This Greek word, diaphon, it literally means where meals and conversations have to happen. Even to this day, if you go to a lot of places in, I hate to say the Middle East, but in the East, in that area, you can't have a conversation about business or commerce or anything of any value unless it's over food and at the table. The meal was long. These meals were not just pizza pockets and some rice. It was a long feast where they gathered together. They were reclining. There was a posture of relaxation. Something that I love to do is I love to cook with my Dutch oven. Sophie had a moment there. She's like, "What's a Dutch oven?" We call it a big pot. And I cook a big chicken in it. And we love to feast and sit. I'm not going down that rabbit trail. But there's a feast happening here. There's a moment where the family is embracing and honoring Jesus. And it's not customary for what Mary did. It's actually borderline foolishness for someone to do this. But immediately she's overtaken by this love, this joy, this celebration that already Jesus, this rabbi, has invited women, not just men. Men usually were the ones that sat at the table and the women are on the side. But everyone was allowed access to Jesus. Isn't that cause to celebrate right there? In this male-dominated, almost male-focused religion, Jesus is breaking cultural norms. He's turning that upside down. You know who can sit at the table? Everyone. Do you know who sits at your table? Jesus Christ. Yeah, but you know, I have sin in my life. I have addictions. I have problems. It doesn't matter. Jesus says, sit at the table with me. No one, it doesn't matter. I remember what Max Lucado wrote a book called Just Like Jesus. And the context of his book, he says this. He says, very much like Billy Graham, he says, come as you are. But then Max goes on, he says, come as you are, but God loves you so much more that he's not going to leave you there. He wants you to be just like his son. And what did his son do? He ate with sinners. He ate with tax collectors. He ate with Pharisees. He ate with enemies. Jesus even, like we're seeing in John's gospel that Judas is the thief. He's embezzling money out of the accounts. And Jesus says, but you still get to eat here, Judas. Belong, believe, become. It's not a new concept, folks. It's never customary. Never customary for all of a sudden for this woman to reach down and pull out this nard. I'm not going to empty this out. But notice what she does. This nard, this perfume is not cheap. It says, yes, it's going to be a year's wages. But actually, this nard, they actually trace the origins. It's from a Himalayan mountain region. It actually is most likely from Nepal. So imagine these herbs, this oil, this mixture had been curated, it's been pulled together, it's been sitting and I don't know the process of perfume making, but it's not just thrown together. And she, in the video, she's like, it's been passed down. So this is a very expensive kind of generational gift, like Chanel number 5. Crystal. Chanel number 5. You know, like my grandmother wore Chanel number 5. It was like the smell my grandfather smelled before he went to the war, and it was the smell when he came back after the war, and then 30, 40 years afterwards. Like, but that's what it is. It's one of those perfumes that is easily recognizable, and boy, does it intoxicate the room. But nard was like that. Mary is like, she's searching for it. She's like, if this is the most special time, and I was told by my grandmother, don't just be willy-nilly and flippant with it. You know, wait for those perfect moments to use this perfume. And she knew there was that moment that was upside down in her heart. This is the moment. Judas is, he's frustrated. I love this quote. I heard this. It said, Judas knew the price for everything, but he didn't know the value of everything. That's kind of like what those embezzlers are, right? They know the price to the penny of how much things cost, but they don't know the value of what's in front of them. So Judas is right away going, are you like you a stupid woman? What are you doing? Don't you know the cost to this perfume? Do you know what you could do with the money? You could, and right away he's going with the low-hanging fruit, poor. You could just give it to the poor, because really Judas has been hanging around with Jesus enough times, he knows that Jesus is pro-poor people. People that don't have anything. No fish, no food. Judas knew the costs, but he didn't see the value. But Mary did. We see the frustration that Martha in Luke 10 has with her sister. Jesus is coming to their house. And Martha is frustrated, to say the least, with her sister. Goes up to Jesus going, Jesus, what's up with Mary? Like, here I am, I'm busting all this extra work, I'm stressing out, I'm trying to fix and get everything all looking good for you, and Mary just wants to sit and worship and praise the Lord. And Jesus said, she's doing the most important thing. It's funny, Mary's doing the exact same thing again. She, in this moment, she owns this moment, but not in a way of arrogance. It's in a way of, it's just her and Jesus. I've seen you, or more, Phil's seen you, when you're worshiping, and it's like, it could just be you and Jesus, and everyone else just kind of fades off in the distance. That's what's happening with Mary. In that moment, she doesn't care what the other men are saying. I don't care what my brother Lazarus is saying. I don't care what the disciples are saying. This is what I have to do in my relationship with Jesus, in my relationship with the Messiah. And so what does she do? Well, the most scandalous thing to do is break open this nard, take the entire contents of it. Usually back then, perfume wasn't liquidy. It was like kind of a paste. And she just starts to wash Jesus' feet and then dries it with her hair. That's a sensory overload in my world. Because visually, she's doing something that's almost near foolishness. It's almost too excessive. You know, people probably whispering, going, why'd she dump the whole thing? It's so potent. Just a drop would do. Look at the cross. Jesus, a drop of his blood would have done the work. But he poured it out. All of it. For you. Why? God really loves you. God would do the same thing to you this morning. Do you know that he actually did that with his disciples? He then, at one point, having a meal, one of his last, pulled out a towel, stooped down to his disciples' feet, and washed their feet. Not Jesus! Peter even said, not my feet, do the whole body, Lord! Again, you know, I think Jesus did a lot of this with Peter. Oh, you're not getting it. Like, this is what I have to do because it's all leading to this, the cross. For God so loves this world that he gave his son, Emmanuel. So you have a remedy to sin, that you have a fix, you have a permanent fix for your heart for sin. Out of this room, in this moment, Mary gets it. And this is how she responds. And it's a satisfaction. It's 100% of her. Church, are you at 100% in your worship to Jesus? When you come in and you're singing with Phil and Phil's leading or whoever's leading up here, and there's a moment where, you know, you're standing and worshiping, are you at 100%? Or are you thinking of what you need to purchase at Pack and Save? And that's just our nature. That's our finite and fallenness. And there's grace there. I'm not gonna do that. I'm just saying Mary is an amazing example for us this morning. I want to be like Mary, where at full abandon, I want to rush to Jesus' feet and say, I love you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. And what do I have around me of the most value? For some people, it's perfume. For some people, it'll be their time. It'll be their energy, their skills, their trades. I was watching the Wototo video last night about their partners. And one woman was a girl, a lady from Tokyo. And she even says, she's like, my second home is Watoto, Uganda. And she goes there. Her time, her all, her 100%, her totality is, I live in Tokyo doing this job and whatever, but my second home is in Uganda. And there's one guy, it looks like he's a machinist, a tradie. And he even says, it's like, all I was doing is just getting up, playing hockey, just doing my life, and it was good. But he even realized, there's got to be more. I'm not at 100%. I'm not doing like Mary with the nard. And he realizes, what if I went to Uganda, and you see him in the video, he's training the future leaders of Uganda in Watoto trades. He's showing them how to build buildings and wiring and plumbing. You have no idea the aerial extent of your blessing and influence over this whole nation. Because he had realized, I don't think I'm at 100%. Then the story of this one couple from, I think it was from America. Their son was heavily involved with Watoto. And then he tragically died. And they had felt for years that they were going to have more sons, but they realized that they have 8 daughters in Watoto. And so then they go over and they have embraced 8 of these little girls as their daughters. Normal people, ordinary people, realizing that I think I'm at about 65%. Maybe I'm at 75%. But Lord, I want to be like Mary. I want to be at 100%. And so as we approach Easter, this is the call and the challenge for all of us in our worship and in our relationship with Jesus. I believe every one of us, including myself, we need to go deeper with him. We need to grow deeper with him. The last part I want to share with you tonight or this morning is this idea of at the table. It's a Hebrew cultural tradition called Mikdash Miat. And Mikdash Miat was literally meaning little temple or little sanctuary, where some families in the rural areas, they wouldn't be able to get to the temple often. So the rabbis would be able to say, make a place in your home to be the Mikdash Miat, which is the little sanctuary. There you will go. There will you will pray. There will you will meet the Lord. Here in this story, we see that the table is where the honoring of Jesus is happening. The Mikdash Miat is happening, where there is a moment where heaven and earth are meeting, and this moment of worship is happening. Folks, I'm asking you to spend some time and create a Mikdash Miat, a little bit of temple and sanctuary space in your home and in your heart during this Easter time. Some people call it Lent, where at Lent, they for 40 days, they give up something. Traditional relinquishings was meat or chocolate. I don't know how much meat and chocolate that you eat. But you would give up something throughout Lent for 40 days, and you would then replace it with a little bit of Mikdash Miat, a little bit of sanctuary time. I know there's some surfers in the room going, look, I don't have room in my house for that. My Mikdash Miat, my little temple, is literally on my board. Then if that's the space where you go to pray and where you meet the Lord, then let that be that place. If it's your drive, if you're a driver, oh, Luke's not here, I don't see him, and you're behind the wheel of a big rig, that too can be your Mikdash Miat. Take the time during this Easter and the next 5 Sundays and meet with the Lord. Don't be just Sunday Christians. Fasting. All the stuff that we talked about in prayer, maybe we're supposed to add some fasting to it. During this time of Easter, not only are you might give up something like meat or chocolate or sweets, use this time intentionally, not only to draw into the Lord in presence, but also in prayer. Seek the Lord and he is to be found. Seek the Lord for hope and healing in our church. Seek for discernment for how our government acts. And also for this coronavirus. Take the time to pray and fast.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.